Praise the Lord, church. Psalms 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget all his benefits." And I was reminded by this verse this week, and I got thinking about it. There was a business agent that showed up on the job this week, and he was checking to see if everybody had their dues paid up. And we got to talking, and he said something about what we got in the mail recently, and it was about a benefits that we had. And I had no idea. And I got two letters in the mail last month. One, the first one I just threw away, but I kept the other one. And the more he started talking to me about it, I couldn't wait to get home to see what I had in my desk, what I threw in there, and I didn't actually throw away. And when the more I looked at it, the more excited I got. I'm like, I didn't realize all these benefits that I got in the mail that I would just thought was, I was ready to discard and throw in the garbage with it, with the first letter I got. And I went to work the next day, and I started telling other guys at work about it. I'm like, you have this letter in the mail. I got it. I threw the first one away, and none of them knew what we really got in the mail was worth of any value. And I got thinking about that. There's so many benefits of being a child of God that we don't even realize.
All right.
And it's throughout our lifetime we discover these benefits that we haven't got. And it says in the next verses, it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, yeah. who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And those are just a few mentioned. And it's just so amazing that after being, I've been in the building trades for half my life, this is my 15th year of being a child of God. And it's so eye-opening, the revelation of what we discover when we walk and we talk with him. And when he opens our eyes and when we see the personal testimonies, God is a God who brings us through impossible situations. That's one right there. That's one that we could testify of. Let these next few songs just be a testimony of your life, of what God has done in my life. The benefits that he has revealed into me. And as I look back, those were amazing benefits that God personally bestowed upon me and revealed to me. And I'm looking forward to what the next revelation that he has. It's going to be so eye-opening. I can't wait to share that. That's the power of being a witness for him. And that's a testimony that I have in my walk and relationship with God. When I go to the workplace, when I have family and loved ones that don't know of the benefits of God, I can testify the personal benefits that God has given to me, that God has just done so many things. I don't even have words to express, but I'm going to express it in my worship, in my song, in my testimony here today in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Savior and my friend, by your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. You are ever interceding. As the lost become the found, you will never be defeated, for you wear the victor crown. You are Jesus, the Messiah. You're the hope for all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how we fight our 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 battles. Challenge of God with the voice of fire. Challenge of God with the voice of grace. Challenge of God with the voice of Challenge to God with the voice of praise. Challenge to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Challenge to God with the voice of triumph. Challenge to God with the voice of praise. Challenge to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up.
When you've been defeated and death couldn't hold you down, we're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises. with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift. He is bent to be led. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated.
Hallelujah.
Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
Hallelujah. I just want to share a quick testimony of something that just came to my mind about that song, Surrounded. I remember Sister Newman years ago. She was at a hotel in Las Vegas. And when she walked out the front door of this building of the hotel in Las Vegas, there was these men soliciting prostitution and handing out these letters. And when she came up towards these men, these men stopped and had eyes as big as softballs, and they didn't say a word to Sister Newman and the person that she was with, and all they did is they looked up. They went like this and didn't say a word. If God for us, sometimes we need to learn to dance when the enemy is present also. God has given us a freedom to do this. There is a liberty when we are in His presence. We need to not just only shout, but I've seen the enemy just taunt me all week. I'm going to dance in the presence of my enemy because I know my God is bigger than my enemy. He is with me. He is before me. He is behind me. And He is bigger than anything that I could face in this world. In Jesus' name. Can we give God a resounding shout of praise? Hallelujah. Lord, we're expecting in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This hour, Lord, we're expecting great and mighty things from you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless the remainder of the service and this offering. Bless every faithful and cheerful giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Then what could say again?
stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
Hallelujah. You are good. You are so good, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All over this house, why don't you lift your hands towards heaven? With your hands lifted towards heaven, why don't you lift your voice? Say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let it out. Stretch your hands high. Lift your voice. Doing, Pastor? This is how we fight our battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded.
Oh, sing it out. Sing it out as a declaration. You thought you had me, devil. You thought you had me cornered. You thought the circumstances would be too much. But I'm surrounded by God. I'm surrounded by His presence. I'm protected on every side. So I lift my hands. I lift my voice. I clap, I leap, I dance, I shout.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight.
We come to church on Sunday morning and we lift our hands. We lift our voice. We sing praises unto God. We hear the preached word. We apply it in our lives. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battle. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
I just thought of this. Maybe you've thought of this before, but throughout our world, there is a universal sign of surrender. Lift your hands to show that there's no arms, that you are no longer coming against the individual or the force. See, the things of the Spirit are so different than the things of the world. Because when I come into the house of God and I get in His presence, this is not a sign that I'm surrendering to this world in the ways of this world. This is not a sign that I'm giving up or I'm giving in to the devil and all his wiles. What this is how I fight my battles. You need to understand I'm surrendering to the power and the presence of God who fights for me. You may think I'm giving up, but what you need to understand is I'm surrendering to the power and the presence of God, because this is how I fight my battles. This is how I'm able to win. This is how I'm victorious. I lift my hands to acknowledge that I surrender to my Savior, the one who fights for me. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
All over this house, why don't we lift our hands and lift our voices? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I'm here fighting another day.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Truly learn how to fight by lifting my hands and lifting my voice, praise and acclamation unto God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Father, such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place.
Miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker. 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 You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're the
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're standing and they're playing, why don't you grab your Bibles? Acts chapter 17. So thankful to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 17, one verse of scripture. It's number 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We were on vacation. I had opportunity many times as I traveled to Florida. I'm asked both at my home church and churches where we have other family, I'm asked to minister. Purposely this time, I asked those that would have asked me or would have mentioned that I was in the area. I said, please just let me come. I really just feel I need to be fed. So Wednesday night, we were in service with my father, and he taught from Acts chapter 17. And this verse of scripture just, you know, sometimes when somebody's preaching, or I don't know if it happens like
this for you, but it does often for me when somebody's preaching or teaching or I'm reading in devotion. A lot of times something will just kind of jump out. And this passage was read in passing. It wasn't the focus of the teaching, but it was a passage that I even commented to my father later that evening when we were talking, that passage jumped out at me and it's been kind of simmering in my spirit. So I felt led of the Lord to preach upon it here this morning. I'll read it once again. Now, while Paul waited for them at Corinth, his spirit was stirred. Everybody say, spirit was stirred. Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I'm going to preach to you upon stirring of the Spirit. Stirring of the Spirit. Before you're seated, I do want to remind you, no PM activity here at the church. There's a department heads meeting, so all of you that are head of department, we ask that you would gather with us as we plan the calendar for the first quarter and some dates into the year. That way we can provide them to you via announcements and breeze. Thank you for all those who ministered in my stead. So good to see Sister Span in service with us this morning. What a delight. I heard that prayer meeting last Sunday night was very well attended. Thank you for that. Thank you for showing up and being in force here for the different services in our absence. It is a comfort to know that while we are away, we know that things are going to go off without a hitch, and that and I know that was the case this time as well. Thank you for those, Minister Brother Kellum, Brother Davis, Brother Kreger, others that Brother Al that ministered in service with us. So thank you so much for that. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Here in Acts chapter 17, Paul has traveled from Berea to Athens. And here at Athens, he is waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. He has come from Thessalonica to Berea. Now he is in Athens. Those that were kind of leading him have brought him to Athens because of some tumult that has happened in Thessalonica and Berea. And so now he is there in the city of Athens. And as Paul awaits the arrival of both Timothy and Silas in this supposed city of earthly superiority, this Athens, Greece, this seat of intellect and philosophy, in this place that is known throughout the world as being the place where those who were intellectual, insightful, and those that would give guidance to others, this place called Athens is a place that is world-renowned. But as the Apostle Paul sits there in Athens, this world power, known all over the known world as the most intellectual, influential place at that time. It is here while the Apostle Paul sits and surveys the scene that is in front of him, he sees an entire city that is given over to idolatry. He sees the idols, he sees the statues, he sees the temples that are dedicated to unknown gods and to gods that are no gods at all. He sees all the pomp and he sees all of the people as they go about, the Bible says, wanting to tell or hear a new thing. And they are so preoccupied with their preeminence and their ability to come and to worship all these gods and commit all this idolatry. And the Bible says that as Paul awaits them at Athens, his spirit is stirred in him. He sees this whole city wholly given to idolatry. So I began to think about that, and I began to wonder what it must have been like for the Apostle Paul, this mighty man of God who had been throughout Thessalonica and Berea and had seen the wonderful works of God in many different places. And here he comes to this place that is supposed to be the place of intellect and influence and might and world dominance. And he sees a city that is wholly given to idolatry. So I began to think, what would it take for us, for our spirit to become stirred? What would have to happen? You see, I
not too many years ago, I think back to when what we call 9/11 took place, and how that it took something like 9/11. And I saw a post not too long ago, actually it was back in September around that time, how that we would desire another 9/12, but we don't want another 9/11. What stirred the spirit of patriotism? What caused the fighting factions to come together in our government and stand on the steps and sing God Bless America? What happened on 9/11 stirred our nation. But it's unfortunate that something like that had to happen for a spirit of patriotism to be ignited. And so I began to think, what will we have to witness in our world? What will have to happen in our lives, in our city, in our society? What will have to happen around us to stir our spirit? What will we witness? What evil will encroach upon us before we decide to do something? It's a sobering thought. What's going to have to happen in my family before I start praying like I should be praying? What's going to happen in my social circles before I really start reaching to people and talking to people about the things of God? What's going to happen in our world before people start to acknowledge their need for God? What level of debauchery and depravity will finally cause us to consider acting against the enemy? Now, please understand, I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm not talking about us doing something that is not in accordance with Scripture. What I'm talking about is what happened to the Apostle Paul as he sat there in the city of Athens and he saw a city that was wholly given to idolatry. And the Bible says his spirit was stirred in him. He was vexed, one translation says. It was hard for him to sit still because of what he surveyed in the scene that was around him. He was stirred in his spirit. He looks at the city of supposed superiority and his spirit becomes stirred. So I begin to think, are there other examples of this? Are there other times in the Bible we can see where people were stirred up, or someone was stirred up, or someone responded and reacted to an evil that was taking place? Because this I know, in our society, in a secular sense and in a natural sense, there is a stirring taking place. You would have to have your head stuck in the sand to not realize what is happening in the environment that surrounds our society. It's as if this whole country, if you will, is a tinderbox ready to explode. Never before have I heard so many references to civil war and going against the government as I do in this day and age. I'm not here trying to scare you. What I'm trying to say is that there is a stirring that is taking place on a natural, secular sense. And what needs to match that stirring in a natural, secular sense is a stirring in a spiritual sense. Be it far from us to just sit back and let things develop as they may develop without us spending some more time on our knees, without our spirit becoming stirred in us and us saying, wait a second, this world may go that way and this world may do that, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Something's got to stir up in me. I wish I could stir people. I wonder, what is it going to take? I went back to the book of Numbers, and in Numbers chapter 24, you can read the happening. It is the story of Balaam. And Balaam is requested by Balak, or Balak, however you want to say it, who is the king of the Moabites. And Balak is worried. He knows what the children of Israel have done to the Amorites, and he is worried that they are going to come against the Moabites. And so he goes and he somewhat contracts, if you will. He tries to get this seer, this prophet Balaam, to curse the children of Israel. Many of us know the story. I won't take the time to go into all the details. But Balaam tells Balak, listen, I can't curse unless God allows me to curse. And I can't do this thing that you've asked. He says, I'm not going to go. Balak sends more princes, more powerful and with more prestige. And once again, they beseech Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. And Balaam once again says, I can't do it. I can't go. And he comes and requests of God. And God says, well, you can go. But you're only to say what I put in your mouth. I'm paraphrasing, but you can read the details. It's then that Balaam decides to leave, and evidently he's not leaving with the intentions, and he's not going with the intentions of speaking only what God places in his mouth, because there is an angel that stands in the way to slay him. And had it not been for his donkey that talks to him, Balaam would have been killed and slain by the angel. And Balaam stands before, and he sees the tents of Jacob displayed out before him. And he begins to open his mouth, and what comes out is not cursing, but blessing. And he blesses, and he blesses, and Balaam gets so upset and says, hey, I could have promoted you and given you all this stuff if only you could curse. And Balaam says, I've told you, I can't say anything that God won't allow me to say, and he has given me blessing, and so I'm blessing. One of the things that Balaam says is found in Numbers 24, verse 9. He says this, and I've preached from this passage before, but Balaam, as he looks out over the children of Israel in the tents of Jacob, he says, he couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. And I tell you what, symbolically, not only is he being prophetic, but Balaam is simply instructing, if you will, Balak, say, listen, don't stir him up. Let him lie. Just let him be. Don't poke a lying lion. Let that sleeping lion stay couched. Don't stir him up. Balak, leave him alone. So what happens is the children of Israel then settle there in that area. And the Bible says, the very next chapter in chapter 25 of Numbers, the Bible says that the children of Israel began to join themselves to the children of Moab. They began to, as the Bible puts it, they began to worship Baal Peor. They began to go to the feast, and they began to bow before the idols, and they began to participate in the worship. Now, I did a little study. I would not advise you to do so, and I would not even attempt to in any way, shape, or form approach the subject of what all entailed according to Jewish history, what the worship of Baal Peor was. It will nauseate you. But God's chosen people, the children of Israel, the Bible says, they're couched, they're at ease. Woe unto you that are at ease in Zion. They're not fighting. They're not stirred up. They're laid down as a cow. As a lion, couched lion. And now they're participating in the feast and in the idolatry and in the worship of Baal Peor. Numbers 25, verse 6, in my mind, gives some of the most blatant and brazen act of a chief of the Simeonites, who the Bible says does this. Numbers 25, 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You know what he does? Excuse the language, but he parades his whore in front of God's people. He is a chief of the princes of the Simeonites. He's not a nobody. He's somebody high up in the tribe of Simeon. He's a prince. He's a chief of the people. And he has joined himself to the worshipers of Baal Peor. So much so that he blatantly and disgustingly brings his woman in the sight of Moses and in the children of it, who the Bible says are weeping at the door of the tabernacle. And we think to ourselves, my God, who would be so bold and so brazen as to do something like that? To parade this woman in front of Moses and the people. And then evidently in a show of what is about to take place, he takes this woman into his tent. But this is what happens. Somebody gets stirred up. Numbers 25, verses 7, 8. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and he thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Somebody got stirred up. Somebody was fed up with what was going on. Somebody said, not anymore. I will not sit idly by and not act upon this. I will not let this happen. Listen, I am not up here in any way, shape, or form preaching physical violence. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what I wonder is, are there any Phinehases in the building? Are there any of those that are sick and tired of what you're seeing in the world around about you? I don't know about you, but I've been a few places here recently on vacation that I'm sorry. What I see and what I survey, it does not make me feel good. I'm seeing a world that is becoming so lost that the only thing that is about hearing a new thing or telling a new thing. They're wholly given to the worship of other things. They're spending their time doing other things. And I'm telling you, it's stirring something in my spirit. What is it going to take? We have some who are fed up with the displays of this world. Not where you go on a street corner and hold up a sign, but where you spend some time in a prayer closet. Where your spirit is so stirred that you say, not my family, not my children, not my co-workers, not people who I have opportunity to reach to. I'm going to pray something's going to stir in my spirit. I will not sit idly by and let evil just encroach upon us. I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for my pastor. I'm praying for my leaders. Something's stirring in my spirit. We need to be stirred in spirit. I don't know what it's going to take. I've talked to people of late, and we've talked about situations and circumstances, and something that's said over and over again. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. But this I do know, that God will allow things to happen, and God will allow us to view and see things so that it stirs our spirit, and we recognize, hey, we the people of God, God must rise up. We cannot be an army that sits idly by, but we must pray and we must seek the face of God. We will not successfully fight these things on a fleshly, carnal level. It's not going to be done by getting in the pit and slinging mud with them.
It's going to be done by us spending time in prayer. It's going to be done when we fast and when we pray and we build ourselves up on this most holy faith. Our world needs people who are stirred in spirit. Our world needs some Apostle Pauls who sit by and they survey the scene, but they can sit idle no more. They can't just allow it to keep happening. Something stirs in their spirit and they're stirred to act and do something. Let me be very clear. And this happens, and so you have to be careful of this. And please understand the caution, the word of caution from your pastor. What happens many times is that people get stirred, but then instead of taking action against the right things, say with me. Instead of really going after evil and the things of evil, sometimes our brother and sisters become easier prey. And we start judging and we start looking down and we start... Did you stay with me? This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about biting and devouring one another. I'm not talking about looking over to your left and your right and trying to find fault with your brother and sister saying, I'm right. And no, I'm not talking about moral equivalence in the sense of you're doing so much better than they are. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the world around about us. I may mess up and I may make mistakes and I may not do everything I'm supposed to do all the time, but I'm still coming to the house of God and I'm still lifting my hands. I'm still fighting my battles. Let's join arms together. I'm not going to look to you and try to judge you. I'm going to look out to this world and say evil is encroaching upon us. The dark cloud is darkening. Hey, let's join forces together and pray and believe and be stirred in spirit. What we need are some warriors of the cross who are called to bear arms in the spirit, to pray, to war, to fight the good fight of faith. We need people who are stirred in spirit. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Lord, help me. Help me. Here's the thing. I'm just like you, that many times we see it, we recognize it, we're disgusted by it, but we think that us not being a part of it is enough. Please, please, stay with me for a few moments. Think, well, I don't participate in that. I don't do that. That's not my lifestyle. That's not the things that I do. But here's the thing. As we sit idly by and that stuff continues to grow, and the cup of iniquity begins to fill more and more of this world, you and I, it is incumbent upon you and I that we do more than just not be a part of it. But that we are on the other side warring against it. Because I think many times, and yes, there are defensive attributes of the Spirit. But when we really understand, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's offensive, folks. Gates don't attack us. We attack gates. Maybe I need to preach on this a little bit more. The understanding is, it's not that I just don't allow that stuff in my home or I just don't allow that stuff to be a part of that stuff. What I do is I'm warring against it by making myself a part of other things that are beneficial, that are righteous, that are good. that I'm immersing myself in righteousness and holiness and good things to war against the bad things. That the way I defend against the evil encroaching is that I become offensive against the evil. Not in the sense where I'm doing something physical, but in the sense where I'm stirred spiritually. And I say, oh no, not in my house, not with my children. I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. Whatever has to stir me in spirit, God, stir me. Sat there in the city of Athens, those people who thought themselves so knowledgeable and full of wisdom, as they walked and made their way to temples of gods who were no gods at all. And it stirred the spirit of the Apostle Paul. What he's saying, what is it going to take for you and I? What's going to have to happen in our society before we really step up our game? And instead of always getting the fight from the enemy, we take the fight to the enemy. This is how we fight our battles. I come and I lift my hands and I worship and I praise, but it's not just here on Sunday. On morning, Monday morning, I get up and I pray, and Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today. I don't know what the enemy's going to bring my way, but I know what I'm bringing to the enemy. I know I'm going to work with a smile upon my face and a song upon my lips. I know I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of God. I know I'm going to fight against the enemy. They want to tell me about how they partied and what they did and who they did it with. I'm going to tell them I was in the house of God on Sunday and I worshiped and I lifted my hands. Stirred in spirit. Oh God, help me. Help me. Not to just notice it, not just to see it, not just be disgusted by it, but Lord, to have it stir something in me. It says I've got to do more for the cause of the kingdom. I've got to fight the good fight of faith. I've got to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've got to put on the armor of God. I've got to stand. I've got to fight the good fight. These altars are open this morning. Are you stirred in spirit? Have you been seeing? Have you been witnessing what's going on in our world? There's a stirring in the natural. There's a stirring in the secular. Can there be a stirring in the spirituality of the church? Can men and women of God determine, I'm not just going to let 2019 just unfold and just think, let things be as they are. I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed. I'm going to fast. I'm going to give myself into the things of God. I'm going to become a good soldier.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. If this is the way that we fight, we're praising for the victory. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful
noise. I'm not making good with the enemy. I'm not allowing evil to come in.
Praising for the victory.
I'm going to fight against it.
Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight.
Hallelujah.
We praise Him for the victory. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus.
I keep running
name, I'll keep right on praising His name, Jesus.
I'll
keep right on praising His name, I'll keep right on praising His name, I'll keep right on praising His name, Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. I won't turn back,
no,
I won't turn back, I won't turn back now. Voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory.
Hallelujah.
The weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory.
Hallelujah.
The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. I'll keep right on praising His name. I'll keep right on praising His name. I'll keep right on praising His name, Jesus. I'll keep right on praising His name. I'll keep right on praising His name. I'll keep right on praising His name, Jesus.
And
I won't turn back.
No,
I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back.
No,
I won't turn. Strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough, I can't say strong enough, I can't say big enough, Lord, you're worthy. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
one final passage, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We need to understand that lifting up a standard is not in the context of retreat. It's not even in the context of standing still. What that lifting up of a standard against the enemy that is coming in like a flood is in the sense of lifting up a standard that says, charge. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's not that we just stand and resist. It's that we lift up the standard against him and we charge. We take the fight to the enemy. Lord, stir my spirit. Stir my spirit. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Now is the time to fight. To raise up a standard and charge. To take the fight to the enemy. To pray like we've never prayed. Stir us in our spirit. We thank you for your word. Thank you for a challenging spirit. Go forth and do valiantly. The exploits that await us in this battle if we but become stirred. The Bible says that the Lord made an everlasting covenant with the household of Phinehas because his spirit was stirred within him. He took the fight to the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. These words resonate in our spirit. In your precious name we pray. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.